You'll open your Bibles back up to Hebrews 11. We want to look at that passage in greater detail tonight as we talk about faith. You know, faith can be a little bit of a nebulous topic. If I ask you tonight, do you have faith? You might respond by asking me, faith in what? If I were to ask you, are you faithful? You might ask me, well, in what area are you talking about? What exactly does it mean to have a faith that pleases God? Here in Hebrews chapter 11, we have 14 specific examples of a faith that is lived out in such a way that God is honored. And there are references to 6 or 7 more examples of this kind of faith. I want to begin with the definition. If I were to ask you, what is faith? Some of you learned a definition way back in Sunday school and you still remember it. What would you say? What is faith? Okay, Joe, that's I think what a lot of us would answer. It's in verse 1, right there. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Or the way I memorized it as a boy, the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But if I were to ask you for a working definition, that's a very accurate definition, but I want a street definition of faith. What is faith? How would you describe faith? Well, here in chapter 11, all these examples of a faith that honors and pleases God, that they all occur in a larger context within the book of Hebrews, a longer discourse. It's a discourse that really began back in chapter 10 in verse 19 with the Hebrew writer's call to persevere. And the writer is urging his readers to hold on, to hang in there, to not give up. In verse 39 he said, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." And so then we have this chronicle of those who didn't give up, who didn't shrink back, but who held on and who were saved. And he's urging these early Christians to step out in faith, just like Noah stepped out in faith, and just like Abraham stepped out in faith. And he's really urging them to be risk takers for God. And so that's the definition that I want us to consider tonight. And I think that's just a good working class definition. To demonstrate faith is to take a risk, to take a chance on God, to trust Him to do what He said He would do. If I'm on the third floor of a burning building and there's no way out except the window and I look down and a fireman's down there and he says, "Jump and I'll catch you." Well, I don't know if he knows how much I weigh. And I don't know how good a catch he is. So the circumstances may demand that I've got to put my trust in this man, and so I'll jump out the window having faith that he will break my fall. Now, what are the odds? I came across a website recently that I thought was interesting, and it was a website on what are the odds of dying in a variety of ways. And let me just share some of these things with you. We're talking about risk taking. I'm not a real big risk taker, but I occasionally will get out on my bicycle. Not nearly as much as Tom Dye gets out on his bicycle, but for people like Tom Dye who ride their bicycles regularly, there's a figure here of 1 in 4,900, the risk of dying on a bicycle. Well, if you get out and play golf in the summer and you're on a golf course and there's a thunderstorm around, for that matter, anywhere, when you're out in on a day when there could be lightning in the air, there's a chance of 1 in 79,000 that you'll be struck and killed by lightning. If you look at areas of our world that are stricken with earthquakes, and you live in one of those zones where the faults from different continents are moving together, the odds of dying in an earthquake in one of those areas is 1 in 117,000. Now, all of life involves risk. You can't get up in the morning and walk into your bathroom without risking slipping on the floor. You can't get in your automobile without risking an accident. All of life involves risk, and as such, we're called upon to have faith. That's part of what our life experience is. We have faith that we can carry out our duties, and we know that we're working with odds. Many of you fly regularly, and actually the odds are very good for successful completion of a flight just about anywhere in this world. There are a few people every year who have a misplaced faith because airplanes do crash, but the odds are good that you're going to make it to your destination if you get on an airplane. I remember going across Royal Gorge several years ago, the highest suspension bridge here in this country, and just wondering how many people have been across that and how safe it was and what the odds were that you could get across and back again without that bridge collapsing. Well, really, when we look at faith and we look at risk, one truth that comes out in this is it's all academic. You know what the odds are of dying? 1 in 1. I mean, unless the Lord tarries, we're all going to be there. We'll all go some way. But when we're looking at biblical faith, this is an important truth to remember. It is the object of your faith that determines the validity of that faith. It's the object of your faith. You know, I may have a weak faith and you may have a strong faith, and that's okay. This morning we witnessed the baptism of Chance Terrell. He's just young in the faith, just a little sapling tree, just planted. And there are those here in this congregation that have been Christians all of your life, and you're like a mighty oak that's grown strong as you've trusted God through the years. But did you know that Chance is just as saved as the most mature saint here? Because it's the object of that faith that determines its validity. Now let me illustrate it like this. If I decide to cross a pond in the middle of winter, of course this is not a very good winter to illustrate that, is it? But if I decide to cross a pond in the middle of the winter and I'm not real sure whether I can get to the other side, I may have a lot of faith, or I may have a weak faith. But if my faith is very weak and I'm very tenuous and I step out and I take very slow steps and I test the ice, but if the ice is strong, then I'm going to make it to the other side. On the other hand, I can go out there and I say, well, I've crossed that pond every winter for the last 30 years, and yet this winter is not a very good winter to be doing that. And even though I believe I can do it and I've done it every year in the past, I can step out on that pond, and if the ice is weak, then there's going to be failure. Now, in this illustration, it's not the level of faith that determines success or failure. It's the strength of the ice. So it's the object. If what I'm trusting in is strong, then I will have success, whether my faith is strong or whether my faith is weak. Now, let me just give you a word of warning here in this, and that is simply this. There are a lot of people who place the primary emphasis on us. We've been singing a lot of songs about faith, and we do need to grow in our faith, and we do need to have a greater faith, and we need a faith that will not shrink. But the strength is not with me. The strength is with God. And let me just look at this word of warning here for just a moment. A small faith in the right object equals success. Let me say this before we get into the warning. A small faith in the right object equals success. That's why Jesus never condemned anyone who had faith. He simply encouraged that faith to grow. Jesus said, even if you have faith as small as a what? Remember? Mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, move into the sea, and it will. Because your faith is in the God who moves mountains. And the object of the faith determines the success of the faith. But the word of warning, without a word from God, you're dealing in presumption. Because we all know that passage in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, look in Hebrews 11 here again in this passage, and I want to stop here for just a moment and look at this. Let me illustrate it with verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Okay, we're going to exercise our faith tonight. Right here it says, it's by faith that we understand that God created the world. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that? What does Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I take God at His word. God has always been faithful. My whole life, I've never known God to once be unfaithful. Everything God has ever said through His word has been verified in my experience. I have trusted Him since my earliest days, and God has always been faithful. Anything God has spoken through His word that I have lived out in my life, it's been verified as being truthful and right. And so when God says, I created the world, I'm going to believe Him. And so I'm exercising faith in that, and that faith is based on the word of God. Now jump on down in chapter 11 and look at another example. That's a valid exercise of faith. I want to show you an invalid exercise of faith. Look in verse 29. Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. Remember that? Moses was there. God spoke to him. God said, hold out your staff. And the sea parted. And God told Moses to lead the people through. And they would go through on dry land. And they all went through because that was a word from God. And they were obedient to that. Now that took a lot of faith, didn't it? To walk down through that with the walls of water towering on either side. And they made it through because God had told them to do that. Now, there was another group, and in the latter part of verse 29 it says, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. They had faith too. If the Hebrews can do it, then we can do it. But God never told them they could do it. He only told the Hebrews they could do it. And so they had faith. And they started down that same road. They got down there in the bottom of the Red Sea, and the walls of water collapsed in on top of them and they were drowned. Now that was an invalid use of faith because their faith was not based on the word of God. Their faith was a presumptive faith. They thought if they can do it, we can do it. And they were wrong. Now, we need to be careful that what we have comes from God and not from our own imagination. You know, I hear people sometimes say, you know, I'm starting a new business, and I have faith that God is going to bless me in that business, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and things are going to go well. I just believe that God's going to do that for me. Well, has God told you that He's going to do that? You know, sometimes we can presume upon the goodness of God, and we can presume in the direction of what we would like to see happen when God's made no promises. So we need to be careful that when we plan our lives and we lay our plans, that we do so based upon the solid Word of God and not on our wishes or good intentions. Now, here in Hebrews, we have seen this roll call of the faithful. Back in chapter 10, the writer was focusing on Jesus. And there in chapter 10, he's showing that Jesus was greater than the angels. And Jesus was greater than Moses. And Jesus was the great high priest, greater than any of those who lived and served and died. And Jesus was greater than any sacrifice that had ever been offered. And that Jesus, because he is greater than all these things that we see in the Old Covenant, Jesus is to be the object of our faith. You know, to put our faith in Jesus is like a sure bet, something that cannot go wrong. The odds of trusting in God through Jesus Christ takes away all chance from the equation. Saving faith, again, let me say it, saving faith is dependent on the object of our faith. You see, I can have all kinds of faith and still fail if my faith is in the wrong object. If I put my faith in a preacher, if I put my faith in a good Christian, if I put my faith in a church, that faith can be disappointed. But if I put my faith in Jesus Christ, that faith will never, ever be disappointed. It's the object of our faith that makes all the difference. And when God, when Jesus Christ, when they are the object of our faith, then the risk goes away. The odds of God being faithful to us when we place our trust in Him is 100%. Faith, in verse 1 again, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, we sang tonight the songs that Vinton led for us. And we talked about faith and we sang about our faith. And faith is like a muscle. The more we exercise our faith, the stronger it becomes. But we're going to sing a song. We'll have our invitation. And then our closing song tonight, I'm right, is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Beautiful song. All too often, we just focus on our end of the equation. And we want to have enough faith to make it to heaven. And we want to have enough faith to be pleasing to God. And we have to have faith. That's essential. But we need to understand where the strength is. The strength can't be with me because I'm not always faithful. Are you? I don't always trust God like I should. Do you? But on His end of the equation, God is always, always, always faithful. Never once has He ever been untrustworthy. Oh, I have, and you have. But God never has. When we are faithless, He is faithful. Always faithful. Thomas Chisholm, back in 1923 in New Jersey, was reading through the Bible one day, and he read that beautiful passage in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And he reflected on just how faithful God was. And he picked his pen up and he began to write the words of that great hymn. And he wrote down, Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Can you just think how wonderful that is? I know people that change, people that I think I could trust, and they disappoint, and people do change. God does not change. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. God is so faithful, we can set our clocks by Him. God is so faithful, we know exactly when the sun will rise and the sun will set, season after season, because He can be counted on. He's trustworthy in all these things. All these planets and stars join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Boy, don't we need that? It doesn't matter what we do. We can always turn to Him and know that He will pardon and forgive and cleanse in you. How wonderful is that? I don't know any human that will always forgive me. There are things that I could do that would so hurt and wound Vicki that she would just have to say, Joe, I can't put up with that anymore. And yet I have a God that if I will truly turn to Him and ask for His forgiveness, He will always forgive. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness. Boy, what a beautiful hymn. As we leave tonight, I hope we can sing that with all of our heart to our faithful God, the object of our faith. That's where our assurance rests. That's where our strength is, in His faithfulness to us. You know, there aren't very many sure bets in this world that we live in. In fact, the only sure bet is God. He will take care of us. He will take us home. He will cleanse us. This morning we witnessed Chance's baptism, and what a wonderful thing to see one cleansed and fresh and new and fresh beginnings. And so if tonight there is someone here who needs to demonstrate their faith, God requires that, by the way. There are no shortcuts on our end of the deal. God requires that we step out in faith and put our trust in Him. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter laid it out very clearly. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And 3,000 people took a chance on Jesus that day. And people have been doing it ever since. And God has proved faithful 100% of the time. If you need to take a chance on Jesus, you'll never find better odds than Him. We invite you to come if you need to do that tonight.